This podcast is sponsored by IQ Bar.
I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQ Bar Plant Protein Bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQ Bars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQ Bar sampler pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter, hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ Bar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20.
This episode was recorded for my UK column show. Please keep us independent by going to support.ukcolumn.org.
This is Germ Warfare, the battle of ideas.
Looks like we are recording. Dustin Nemos, thank you for joining me in the trenches. I cannot pronounce your website. Please say it for me. The something Sarah, what?
TheSarahPayum.com, Hidden History Archive. So when I was looking for a website name, I was really looking for something Library of Alexandria to sort of bring that ancient knowledge to the forefront in one's mind. But I couldn't find anything not taken. So I just took the only surviving building of the Library of Alexandria when it was built, which was the basement or burnt. I'm sorry. And that was the basement. And it was called the Serapeum. So that's what I named the website. It was really just meant to be a repository of information, a data dump for me to save things that were disappearing from the internet. And I've kind of smoothed it up a little bit, polished it up, turned it into a real library now for people to use and utilize of hidden history and, you know, censored stuff, science, scripture, conspiracy, history, all of it. And it's a fascinating, you know, work, but, you know, I can't encourage people to check it out enough.
Why are you so censored, though?
Well, I was only a little bit censored, like everyone else, when I was still pro-Trump and pro-Q years ago and a long time ago now. And having woken up to, like, the Great Awakening controlled opposition side, because I was always watching for, like, wolves in sheep's clothing, and I developed a bit of a reputation for calling out controlled op early on. You know, people called me a little divisive at first. Now they're seeing the value of it. Either way, I digress. You know, I essentially came at this as a reporter and moved into historian and now theologian and such. But, like, basically, I'm sorry, I lost my train of thought.
I was just asking why you said censored.
Okay, yeah, sorry. When dogs bark, like, it means something usually. Okay, so when I'm censored, it happened about the time I started reporting the Hunter Biden laptop from hell, which was when I was wiped out of YouTube. I was already kicked off YouTube a few times, like moderately censored, heavily censored. But after that, they basically wiped me out of the internet, especially after I turned against Trump on the day that he began promoting boosters. And then I lost half my audience at that point, and it became a struggle to stay on the internet. 7,000 plus videos just basically wiped out. And, you know, since 2017, like, most of my work, 17 hours a day and such, just gone. And banks reject me outright because of who I am. Some things I can't even, like, sign up for the apps. They reject me or kick me off shortly after I get the app. You know, it's gone to arguments at regional management levels and, like, BB&T Bank and such, because I tried to get an account and one of the regional managers tried to fight for me and, like, lost the fight. It was wild, the big drama. And, like, the other one called me personally, said, don't come in. Like, it was kind of strange. So I've had some weird experiences like that, but basically I'm blacklisted now because I named the Jew at the deepest levels of the rabbit hole, the T fall silent.
Why do you think that is the case, though? I mean, how is it that such a small population worldwide has such power?
Well, I'm glad that you know, it's not shocking to you that I say that they have power, because a lot of people are like, no, the Jews don't have all that. They do, in fact, and people are noticing it. So how does that happen? Frankly, God warned us it would be the case, and it's unavoidable unless we follow his way. In Judges 2, he told us that he would no longer drive out from among us the Jewish deep state that Joshua failed to wipe out, and that he would use them to test us. That's where we're at. We cannot escape this curse from God himself of a Jewish deep state unless we follow his way. Now, there's more, you know, obviously they have nepotism, they're corrupt, they're the Nephilim, they're the actual children of Satan lineage-wise. Their ancestors were not like us. They were six-finger giants with cone heads that got smaller, turned into what we call now Neanderthal man, not the same as us, Cro-Magnon man. And then eventually they merged enough, diluted enough to look like us. And Jesus, even by the time of Jesus, he was warning us that they were infiltrators, serpent seed. They were of their father, the devil. They were tares amidst the wheat, generation of vipers. Where he goes, they cannot follow, etc. So he's warning us, the same warning that Yahweh, his father, had been warning us the entire time. There's an evil bloodline, and it's a quarter of the Bible. So, you know, even from a non-biblical standpoint, they have all the power politically. The Jew world order runs every government on earth. In essence, they have convinced mankind of great falsehoods in science and in history and in culture. And they have us all on a slippery slope to hell. And now Guantanamo Bay is opening up for anyone who questions their genocide of even Christian children in the Middle East.
But I mean, how did they get into that position? I mean, if a group of people are so well organized, shouldn't we be looking at them going, well, actually, we can learn from that?
Well, you know, it's hard to out evil the Jews in terms of the way that they work. They are nepotistic, and they do work well for one another. I mean, they have in-group preference like no one. They're xenophobic. They hate others. They want to invade and parasitize and destroy from within. That's what they've been doing the whole time. They've been kicked out of 109 countries 1,034 plus times for crimes like eating children, like St. Simon of Trent, like Andrei Yushchensky, to name a few names. But also opening the gates to the foreign enemy to occupy, like the occupant nation that they were hosted by. So one example is Spain. They opened the gates of Toledo, and they were conquered by Islam for 800 years, thanks to the Jews. Don't let them in. There's a number of times where they've poisoned the wells. One good example is the Black Plague. You know, 30% of Christians died in Europe because of a poison, not a plague. So they've been there the whole time, moving toward power, and the only thing that really kept them at bay was the moral culture of a Christian nation. And that, as it has subsided in faith, and you know, people aren't as moral anymore, and the slippery slope of our culture wars have took effect, and now we're butchering our children and giving them hormone blockers in schools, and like, the argument is, should you be allowed to deny your children access to the butchering and the hormone blockers and the gay porn at fifth age level? And that's kind of where we are now. We're basically at the brink. We have no more ground except just take our kids, you know. That's the only thing left. And that happened in a very short time. Even 40, 50 years ago, New York City was predominantly Christian. I mean, that's how fast that happened. So we are, I think, in the end, and as the Bible said, as the politics say, as history has shown, as even the science will confirm genetically or genetically, they're evil. That's why they're in power.
But now, how do you dovetail that with what appears to be Europe drowning in Islam?
Well, yeah, the Jews don't have the numbers to wipe out Christianity, and they don't want to be the target, so they always use divide and conquer. They always use the George Floyd, which is the golem technique right out of the Talmud. They always use something like that to create racial division, and then they disappear. They exist in the shadows. It's not the Jew anymore. Now it's black or white or woman versus man or old versus young. And in this case, Muslims are being used as the broom of the Jews in order to wipe out Christianity. And you can see that playing out in the UK. The Jews are laughing. No Jews being harmed, while Muslims and whites go at it in the streets with machetes, while only whites get arrested for saying things that are like, don't rape our children, or even sharing it. If they share it, they can get 2 to 3 year sentences now in the UK. So
this podcast is sponsored by IQ Bar.
I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQ Bar Plant Protein Bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQ Bars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQ Bar sampler pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter, hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ Bar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20.
Of course, you're seeing one-sided enforcement, massive immigration by force, and no end to that. We can't seem to get control of our borders, only in the Western nations. China doesn't have a problem with this the same way we do. Israel certainly doesn't. They believe in walls for them, not for us. So this is kind of, you know, part of their divide and conquer, miscegenation-based ethnic cleanse of white people. It's something they've been plotting for a long time. It's something that's in the Bible. It's precedented right there in Genesis 6 when the fallen angels created the Jews in the first place by mixing species with human women. And ever since then, they've been trying to outbreed us and take over or pollute us.
You've just created my segue because I was trying to find a way into the hidden history of the world. Genesis 6 is something that you've spoken about with the, you pronounced it Nephilim. I've often said Nephilim. Yeah. I don't know how do you say it?
Both would work. The Nephil, the Nephal is sort of the root word, but Im or M is both appropriate in this case, which just means plural. About roughly 6,000 years ago, which is shown by the archaeology and the genetics, we have creation. And creation is not what we were told. Creation is, for those who are watching this, creation is exactly as described. The sun, moon, and stars set within the firmament on day 4 of a flat, non-moving, fixed, on pillars, forever world. I know this is like a rinky-dink, cheap model. It's all I can afford on a censored media budget. But I use this, you know, to show my kids and such, and to demonstrate to people. And I debate this with PhD scientists. For those who are skeptic, I get it. I don't expect everyone to just jump in there and believe me. I thought it was ridiculous, and I thought it was a distraction from real issues like human trafficking of children at an industrial level, which is what I was focused on, trying to expose and bring voices to the children who don't have a voice. I stopped and I went to debunk it because I thought it was a distraction, and then I couldn't, and then I became a believer because biblical earth is true and it holds up to the scientific, you know, scrutiny and the debate. And this is a whole different, you know, topic in and of itself, but that is a big part of creation. And then from there you have Adam and Eve and you have the fall. Genesis 3:15, right after the fall, the serpent is cursed with the first curse in the Bible. Your offspring will be at war with the woman's offspring, is what God said. There will be enmity or hatred between the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent. That sets the stage for all human history. And then in Genesis 6, we find out who they are because the fallen angels found the beautiful women, the sons of man, or the daughters of man, to be beautiful and went in unto them and created children with them. I think a branch just hit my roof. Sorry, I'm in a metal barn. And found them to be beautiful, went unto them, created children with them. And these children were the Titans, the first Nephilim, the half-breeds, the you know, the gods of old mythology, like the pantheon of like the Poseidons and all that. The Greeks call it the Clash of the Titans. It was real. We have their hands, skulls, spines, bones, and swords sticking out of the mountainsides all over the world. We have the genetics, etc. Titans existed. They got smaller. They got diluted. And by the time of Noah, before the flood, around 3500 BC or so, we had the much reduced, much smaller, much diluted giants that Plato talked about when he said that the Atlanteans had mingled too often with mortal admixture and polluted or diluted their divine essence. This is something Plato even whined about because he was one of those secret society types that thought they were the gods and was whining about how they were deluded. Anyway, the deluded people of that age took over the world. We call it the Age of Atlantis, Tartaria, Lemuria, Mu. We're digging it up out of the muds. We're finding it off the ocean coastlines, underwater cities of pyramids and sphinxes and stuff. We know where Atlantis is, the Rishat structure, the Eye of Sahara. In fact, it's all real. And the flood wiped out, and the Bible gives us the context of why, all the GMO people, all of the corrupted flesh that the Bible talks about, that all flesh had become corrupted, and Noah was saved because he was pure in his generations or genetics. So we have pure blood Noah, everybody else is GMO Jewish, wiped out by God, reset the garden. And then afterwards we have Noah and then his three sons repopulating the entire world, and our genetics show that every human on earth shows that we come from one of the three sons of Noah after everybody else got wiped out in what they call in science world the Younger Dryas chromosomal bottleneck, which is where there's a bottleneck of all the human species chromosomes because everybody died off and only those three people basically were alive to reproduce. Presumably Noah stopped having children at that point after Ham's disappointment. Those three sons basically we can trace everybody to. And then they basically form the, you know, post-flood governments and cultures. For example, first Egypt. I mean, There may be some pre-flood Egypt, but there's Egypt's broken down into like four different, I think, historical eras because it's so vast in time. So you're looking at like the first era of Egypt where it's still ruled by Osiris and stuff. The gods, you know, are still there and present because in the post-flood world, those wives of the sons from the pre-flood world, part of all flesh corrupted, they were not part of Noah's family. Noah's sons took wives over the boat.
You're talking about the Nephilim?
Okay. Three wives came over the boat of Nephilim descent. Two sons had pure human children. One did not. Ham had all kinds of different children, including Canaan, the cone-headed, six-fingered demon child of the post-flood world that created all of the Canaanites, the Amalekites, the Hivites, the Sinites, the Arkavites, etc. And then later you get Amalek, the bloodlickers, and Edom from that bloodline. So this entire bloodline from the Nephilim of Genesis 6 pre-flood all the way to Obadiah 18 and the end of Amalek and Edom forever, all of them, is a quarter of the Bible in terms of like King Og, the invasion of Canaan, taking of the land from the sons of Anak, the drama of King David and Goliath. King David replaced King Saul because he refused to kill all of Amalek. I mean, that's why King David was King David. God replaced King Saul through, and Samuel told him all of this. So, you know, disobedience, basically. So this is important to God. God didn't like this species. He wanted us to wipe them out, take their land after they were killing and eating babies and such. And then that was the promised land, the land of Canaan, because Canaan was a bad dude. Canaan was a murderer and a genetic abomination and a wannabe demigod, a tyrant, and a child eater. That's what these things are. And so throughout history, throughout the Bible, it warns about the baby sacrificers, the ones who would put the babies through the fire. We know about the, you know, the statues of Moloch and Baal, like an owl or a bull holding out the hands, and the babies are placed in them to burn alive.
Blood libel.
Yeah, well, that's all real because they were found guilty dozens and dozens of times. So it's not really a libel, is it? With unrelated court cases and unrelated governments, by the way. So, like, I don't know why they would all be making up the same lie or libel anyway. All these desperately, like, grieving mothers of children who were eaten or went missing, just making shit up about the Jews throughout history, I guess. I don't know. But also there were queens and kings involved. It got pretty dramatic in certain cases. Anyway, I lost my train of thought on that one, but where was I before the segue?
Sorry, I interrupted you. You were just talking about the you were taking me through the biblical account, yeah. And you got to the eating of the babies.
Yeah, so Canaanites. I want to really emphasize Canaanites, not human, described as non-human. Goliath, for example, had six fingers. All of his brothers had six fingers on each hand. This is rare now, but you still find it. You can see like YouTube videos of celebrities with six fingers and they talk about how they had it removed as children. You can watch videos of families that have six fingers picking guitar with all, you know, six of them. It's weird stuff. You still find this today. You don't find the kind of gigantism that the giants had. They're diluted now. They're not, it's not the same as like human gigantism where you're crippled and you die. They were strong, robust, and ate people. And we can make
this podcast is sponsored by IQ Bar.
I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQ Bar Plant Protein Bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQ Bars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQ Bar sampler pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter, hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ Bar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20.
We can make a Nephilim today for those who doubt this by mixing a liger and a lion and a tiger into a liger. You get a tank-sized cat that never stops growing and will eat you if you don't feed it enough meat. And then if it ever escaped, like into anywhere that has big cats in Africa, for example, it would outproduce, outcompete, and eventually come for us when it ran out of food. That's basically Genesis 6. That's what happened. And that's what led to all flesh increasingly being only focused on violence. Genesis 6 up to the flood, I think Genesis 8 or 9 there. I forget where it is. But so post-flood, you have the rise of this genetic abomination, demigod class of giants, like Goliath, 30 footers or so. And then you have Nimrod, a cousin of theirs, another son of Cush through Ham, so another Hamite. So you get Ham, you get his sin, you get all these problem children, like you get Cush and then Nimrod, and then you get Canaan. Anyway, Nimrod was king of the world, and he ran on a ticket of make Atlantis great again and kill God. And that's basically what he united mankind in. Now, this is where, first of all, the story of the Tower of Babel enters the picture. And that explains all mythology, all pagan religions ever, because it's all basically a variation of that flood story, of that Genesis story, from a local Nephilim tongue or Babel perspective. They're all talking about Nimrod, by the way. They're all talking about a dying and resurrecting sun god. Well, that's Nimrod, Baal, Moloch, Chemosh, Marduk, Osiris. They have many, the man of many names, because it's the same story with little variations, babbled. But then also, this is where you hear the rise of Abraham, a man much loved by God, first called Abram in Scripture. And that is the foundation of the Abrahamic faiths from which most of human population allegedly believes in some form, although only Christians are truly Abrahamic. Islam is not, because they're not keeping the faith of Abraham. Just because they believe in him doesn't mean they're keeping his faith. And Jews hate the people of Abraham and are not his people, but they pretend to be. But just because they believe in him doesn't mean Satanism believe in Abraham. Satanists believe in Jesus. That doesn't mean that they follow his way. Because you can't believe in Satan and not believe in Jesus. It doesn't work. Anyway. And then you move past this phase. Nimrod's tower is broken. His empire shattered and splintered. He's eventually killed. And his wife and also his mother, Semiramis, predicts that he will come back one day. She creates the Christmas Yule log ritual. She says an evergreen tree sprung up overnight, and that says he's coming back. In the Egyptian myths of Osiris, they tried to recollect the dismembered parts and put them back together. There's all kinds of variations to this, but essentially Nimrod was prophesied by the dark occult to return one day. They couldn't get the date right because that's not in their power. They just had a plot, not a prophecy. God gets the date right. He gets the details right every time when he does a prediction of the future. But when the deep state does it, they say, one day we're going to bring him back. Or they have a plot and they lay out some vague details and they say, one day this is going to happen. Anyway, that kind of thing is on the dollar bill, by the way. The deep state, return of the Jew, golden race of man prophecy. But so this prediction that Nimrod would return followed these dark occult priesthoods of many different faiths and religions, the secret societies, what we call Mystery Babylon, through different tongues, through different eras, all the way up to now. Groups like the Freemasons were founded. Freemasonry was founded by Nimrod himself. They teach that if history be not ancient fable, Masonry began at the Tower of Babel, and that's a Freemasonic poem. There's a number of other things that link Freemasonry to Judaism and Satanism, but essentially, the secret societies are the worshipers of Nimrod dedicated to bringing him back. And why did we invade Iraq? We got the body that they had just found, the tomb of Osiris. 3 months after they found it, we invaded under the false pretenses of weapons of mass destruction. We killed 1 million people. We displaced 4 million. We broke a country, an ancient country, and we stole all of the resurrection cuneiform tablets. And this plays into what's happening now politically with the Son of Perdition, the president, etc. Anyway, so moving back into history, we're post-flood. We're at the time of Canaan. Nimrod's empire is destroyed. Abraham was chosen by his faith as a righteous man in a time of unbelievers and idolaters, and his own father had been the head idol maker for Nimrod. So he had, you know, personal drama in this, personal stake. He had been saved from the fire, but his brother had not because he lacked faith. So here's Abraham with his nephew, Lot, a little boy he feels responsible for because his brother died standing next to him in the fire. If people want to go into the details, and they can find out about that story. Anyway, so Abraham and Lot leave. They start their wandering. They start their journeys. This is all talked about in the Bible. Sodom and Gomorrah, a real place, a real place. You can go and dig through the ashes covering an ancient city, two ancient cities. You can pull out pure sulfur balls that you can't find anywhere else in the world of different color. You can pull them out in chunks, shotgun blasted into the rock of the mountainside. Like, this really happened. Just like the flood, we have tons of evidence that it really happened. God's word be true. And then Abraham's people become the blessing and the promise through Isaac and then through Jacob, Israel, the man who was renamed as Israel. And this is where the true Israelites come into play, not the Jews. They have no evidence of being those people, but the Bible Israelites, the ones the Christians believe in and support, not the Jews of today. They shouldn't. That's the Judeo-con Christians saying bomb the babies, turn it into a parking lot, all that nonsense. So the people of Israel become the Western European nations. America is in Leviticus 26:18. If you do the math, 1776. The UK is the same situation. Do the math, 1801 AD. Those are the tribes of Manasseh and Ephraim. And there are other tribes. The tribe of Judah became the Irish and Scottish, based off of the Irish princess Scota, Scottish, Scotland. There's a lot of this throughout history. And you see not only the heraldry, which is a good example of the tribe symbolism kept intact through history, like the Irish people use the same symbols as the tribe of Judah in their clans, in the Scottish, the same situation.
And Celtic, I believe, or ancient Celtic is similar to Hebrew, or ancient Hebrew.
Everything is. Every religion on earth is similar to something that came before and was battled that we can't quite place. But everything traces back, and etymologists remark on this all the time. These languages can't come from each other, but they all obviously came from something, a common origin, just like mankind's genetics. So there is, in fact, a babbling in our languages. Otherwise, we have, like, why are there even dead languages? So we have a really good understanding of language. We have very advanced, you know, we've basically Rosetta Stone the human languages at this point. So why are there dead languages in the first place? So this is a thing of God. And these dead languages are being sort of rediscovered now. Like the Thracian script is probably that dead language, is probably that original tongue, which was a Adam and Eve, single God with a son coming in the future type faith. So the original faith in the time of Adam and Eve, before the ancient aliens type rise of these ancient gods as the Genesis 6, you know, offspring, which they basically took over and made mankind worship them and turn themselves into gods and all that. Before that, there was a faith. The faith of that talked about Adam and Eve, the faith that talked about the coming Christ, the faith that talked about the one creator. And that was the original faith of mankind. Anyway, that's being rediscovered now because they've translated the Thracian script. But science won't touch any of this. They won't admit it. They say it's art. They say they had no written language. We can read it. It's not just art. If you can read ancient Egyptian, you can read this. Anyway.
This podcast is sponsored by IQBar.
I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQ Bar Plant Protein Bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQ Bars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQ Bar sampler pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter, hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ Bar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20.
And then we get through this, and I'm trying to condense a lot, obviously, into a short amount of time. So when we get through the Abraham thing, and I'm ignoring so many other offspring kingdoms that came, like where did the other peoples come out, like China and all these others, and we can get into that a little bit too. But basically, I'm following the biblical narrative from Adam and Eve up to Israel to Europeans, and then why the Jews hate us, and that's kind of the history of the world, basically. It explains the bad stuff, the conspiracy, every conspiracy ever of organized evil throughout all human history is them. So it explains all of the bad stuff. It explains all the stuff that in the Bible that didn't make sense. It explains all that supernatural stuff. I call it the seed war. And it's this Genesis 3:15 hatred between the man of the woman, the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent. I'm going too fast. After Abraham, you know, basically we jumped all the way up to modern Europe, but there's a lot to cover there. I mean, there's Rome, the rise of Rome, the false church of Satan destroying true Christianity, outlawing it, killing 50 million Christians for daring to keep the Bible or translate the Bible without some Roman or Jewish Jesuit middleman priest selling them salvation.
But talking about the Vatican.
Yeah, yeah. 300 years after Christ, basically, you have a pagan, lifelong pagan emperor named Constantine who outlawed Sabbath, outlawed parts of Christianity, said, okay, you can be Christian now. We won't kill you anymore, but you got to keep Easter. You got to keep Christmas or we'll kill you again. And that was relatively quick after the, you know, legalizing of Christianity. And then all the infiltration started immediately. False doctrines, you know, came into the church immediately. This is written about in the scriptures about how, you know, bad men came with bad teachings right after the apostles, basically. And they were warning us immediately that wolves would come and false teachers would come. It would be basically their last words in many cases of the apostles. Like Paul, for example, like I think he was crying about it. He was really trying to warn us. And these false teachers basically perverted Christianity, took Christ out, made him a baby, placed Mother Mary, which is really Semiramis, in the role of Savior. They actually call her the co-redemptrix now. And focus your prayers on Mary. Pray to angels. Pray to anything but Christ. Or, you know, Yahweh, the Creator in Yeshua's name, is how Christ taught us to pray. Not directly to him, but we see this have a major role throughout history. Not only did they create Islam and then use that as a way to continue killing Christians after they ostensibly stopped killing Christians themselves. And then you see, for example, the breakaway from Rome that brings us back into the recently modern world, with like figures like Martin Luther, the Reformation, Protestantism, not perfect. They say protest and reform. That's what Protestantism was. You can't protest and reform Satan's church. God's going to burn it down. That's what the Scarlet Whore of Babylon has happened to her. And it is the Scarlet Whore of Babylon in prophecy, sitting on the seven hills, the church with the specific colors that, you know, Rome has, the scarlet, the purple, the gold, all of that, pearls, everything. It's very specific about the Scarlet Whore of Babylon, which church that is. That's Catholicism. So God destroys that in a day, at some point coming soon. That is the evil false church. And of course, they're trying to bring about Chrislam now. They're making tranny people priests. They're inviting Islam members and Muslims to pray. They're putting floor space and rug space for them to pray to Mecca in Catholic churches now. And by the way, the original direction that red-bearded, not Arabic, but red-bearded Muhammad prayed to was to Petra, not Mecca. He was an Edomite. He was a Jew. He was praying to their capital.
Who, Muhammad?
So, Muhammad. Yeah, so the real history is insane.
So yeah. What are you... Did you say the Catholics or the Jews created Islam?
See, it's both, because Catholics were basically, like, Rome was controlled by the Jews. And that's where he gets into, like, it's difficult to distinguish between a Roman priest, you know, messing with the Bible, or was it just the Jews the whole time? Because, like everywhere else, they run things from the upper levels. They're probably not doing the scribe work. They're probably doing the, like, raping the children cardinal work. But at the higher levels, it's always 95% Jews, like Bolshevik. And so that's been the case with the Roman Empire as early as Nero, who kicked his pregnant wife to death for his Jewish girlfriend and then burnt down his own city, capital, Rome, in order to blame it on the Christians. That's hatred. And then also Julius Caesar, who was betrayed by his friend Brutus because he sold out Rome and the people to get his throne.
Wasn't Brutus his brother or half-brother or something?
Brutus was his friend, his best friend, by some accounts. Okay. And it's in a lot of plays, it's in a lot of movies, it's a famous historical account. Brutus stabs him and other people betray, you know. But the real reason for that was actually that Julius was a sellout to Jewish power to get his throne. So the real power, the political class even then, destroyed Rome with usury and hyperinflation of the money, ultimately, by putting, you know, other metals in the money and paying the army, which eventually rebelled and took over. That's the second era of Rome, you know. So there's all sorts of Jewish contamination of the Roman Empire, of course, because that's where power consolidated. That's where they were doing the Saturnalia child rape and child sacrifice rituals that led to Christmas. That's where they were into these things. That's where they were trying to restore their world empire of Nimrod's babbled one world government. And then that's kind of where Jesus came and then drove all of that underground. That's a big historical thing, too. The child sacrifice was no longer done. Like, everybody, even in the leadership, kings and queens started pretending to be Christian, or they would, you know, maybe even be overthrown. Like, you had to pretend to be Christian, at least, in order to have a throne in the Western world from that day on. With these people, the people of God, you had to at least pretend to be of God. And they were obviously easy to trick because they're not paying attention. That's us, you know, just like today, like they've been with us the whole time. But the people of God have always had the Ten Commandments at the very least written on their hearts and such. So you can see that develop into the Western European moral and political and legal codes, which are essentially founded on Christian morals, like truth. Truth was not considered a virtue in the ancient world the way that it is, or at least with some people today. Power was more the truth in those days. But after the time of Christ, things like mercy and truth became important to people. So, you know, that's the power of his historic footprint, which is massive. So, you know, I'm jumping around from middle history to late history a lot here. I'm trying to tie some of these elements together. obviously Rome was a big impact, and that leads into the Reformation, that leads into where Rome stops killing everyone and starts trying to infiltrate with the Jesuit order, the Jesuit order, which was founded by Loyolus, Ignatius Loyolus, a Jew, and then he killed a bunch of Christians, you know, the Inquisition. And they call him a saint, we call him a mass murderer, you know, that's what Jewish propaganda does. But, you know, getting off of Rome, because we could go on that topic for a long time, getting into stuff that's happening even now with the way that Washington, D.C. was laid out in an occult pattern, and that the way that the Capitol Rotunda building is the womb of Isis symbolically, and it looks right out upon the phallic symbol, the penis of Osiris, still, you know, the Washington Monument, which is what those monuments are all about, by the way. It's all about the lost member, the lost piece that they couldn't find of Osiris. And there's my doggy. So, you know, you have this symbolic birthing in the Trump second term administration of what he really is, in my opinion, the son of perdition, because he is fulfilling Nimrod reborn, the son of perdition roles, prophetic verses, checking off the boxes, very specific stuff. No one else comes even close. And I'm going to just let him in real fast because he'll bark at me. If anyone...
This podcast is sponsored by IQBar.
I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQBar plant protein bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQBars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQ Bar sampler pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter, hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ Bar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20.
Had the kind of... So we know the fake news is fake. So if anyone had the kind of hatred from the fake news that he gets, they would all be as beloved as he is. It's entirely falsified. It's entirely fake. They make him into a punching bag. They punch him. He doesn't really do anything, but he gets a lot of hits. And then he becomes this superhero. And in so doing, he gets very much trusted. And he sells us poison pills like the vaccine, which has killed millions of people with Operation Warp Speed, or Warp the Seed, perhaps, which is filled with 666 symbolism and mind control symbolism in Hebrew. And if you consider the genetics of that, it fits the mark of the beast. Prophecy, all they have to do is turn on the software, and it is required to buy and sell. It's already in the hand, it's already in the forehead, it's already in all the body of the people who took it, because it's spreading the graphene oxide nanotech antennas internally, building antennas in them that is receiving something, connecting them to things like they have a MAC address that they can connect to. Even dead people now, if you go to a graveyard, put like a microwave on top of a phone, make sure nothing from above can get any signal to that thing, you'll still get MAC addresses from underground with modern graves in some cases, because these things are creating permanent tags between the flesh and the machine of this Jewish beast Skynet system that they are now building to control, track, trace, and surveil every man, woman, and child forever, land, sea, and air, as Trump said. And then, you know, essentially, I think that I believe he is the son of perdition, and I think he's rolling out all of the end times, a great tribulation. The mark of the beast is already done, basically almost finished. The great tribulation, I think, was synonymous with term two. Since then, he has basically gone full into betrayal of his positions, nominating and positioning Israel firsters and warmongers, and genociding babies for the Jews en masse, giving them bigger bombs than even Biden, their dotarded geriatric puppet who had dementia. Even he wouldn't give them the big bombs, but Trump is cool with it. He can't wait to turn Gaza into like a bearded tranny belly dancer paradise with golden statues of him everywhere, according to his AI videos, at least.
I saw that.
Yeah. That was weird, right? And children coming out of tunnels. Did you see that part?
Yes.
They had children. Yeah. That was a little tell right there. Look up Tunnelgate, because they still eat children. They still rape children in the tunnels today. They get caught and nothing happens. Tunnelgate, Brooklyn, Chabad recently. I mean, bloody mattresses, soiled pee-pee pads, adjustable high chairs. We had everything but the babies. We had everything to show human trafficking and rape of children underground in tunnels. It was a bathroom connect. They dug a tunnel to a child's bathroom across the street. The level of evil, and it's not even uncommon at these Jewish Chabad centers. Most of them probably have tunnels.
So, sorry for interrupting, but speaking of child trafficking, Epstein was a Jew.
Yep. And that was a Mossad operation, every bit of it. And that's why we'll never see the list. We'll never see justice. That's why Trump is giving us the nothing burger flukes and flops of stuff we've already seen with controlled op Jew media, like Jack Posobiec and libs of TikTok, all basically Jews or Jewish controlled op media, giving us this we got it pitch, all this nonsense when we don't have anything, betraying us on the border, betraying us on abortion, betraying us in every way, betraying us on immigration. He's supposedly deporting all the bad guys. No, he's showing you videos of criminals being deported to Honduras and Guatemala. What he's mostly doing is opening tens of thousands. He's deporting dozens of criminals to Guatemala. He's opening beds by the tens of thousands, 20,000 so far, 175 new buildings so far on term two for Guantanamo Bay. Torture rape camp of the United States, but not in U.S. jurisdiction where they can send U.S. citizens and you have no rights. So they're deporting citizens, well, not citizens, everything but citizens. They're deporting non-citizens with green cards that are here legally as students, children. They're deporting them to Gaza, to Syria, to die by deportation, or they're deporting them to Guantanamo Bay to be tortured and still fed by us. So it's not actually deporting them. It's not saving us any money. It's actually going to cost us more money. Now we have to pay for their food and full-time torture and medical care, waterboarding 24 hours a day or something. Who knows? So, why are we sending protesters for thought crimes who don't want babies bombed to Guantanamo Bay? That's an antichrist, son of perdition kind of thing to do. And soon the Noahide laws are coming, which they've already asked Trump to the Sanhedrin of the false holy court of the fake Jews has already asked Trump officially to officiate and give his blessing, basically an endorsement to their new holy court in Jerusalem, which is going to be where they bring everybody and give them the Jesus treatment, yell at you with a bunch of rabbis, spit on you, smack you around, maybe crucify you, I don't know, for your thought crimes, for your anti-Semitism, as they call it. They're not even Semites. They're Hamites.
Dude, the Jews.
Yeah. They're not of Shem. They're of Ham, of Canaan.
What do you make of the Khazarian argument?
Well, it's a limited thing because, yes, it's true, but that's a small chapter and a small window of that entire Seed War story that I talked about. So what happened is the Nephilim of Genesis 6, and then in the post-flood, their remnant, the Canaanites, turn into things like the sons of Anak, the Raphaim, the Goliath Philistines, the Archivites, Hivites, Sinites, Hittites, etc. All these different tribes of monsters, all described as monsters. God hated them all. And God in multiple cases said things like, leave nothing alive of that entire bloodline. So that bloodline, it gets more diluted, it gets smaller. In history, we see all the cone-headed, really strange cone-headed shape priestly classes and rulers of the ancient world around the baby bone sacrifice altars and megalithic structures we can't build today. So that's the early era stuff. And then they get smaller. By the time of Jesus, they're so diluted, they look like men, like today. You can tell if you know what to look for, but no one else in the Bible seemed to know except Jesus at first. Even the apostles didn't realize. They all thought that these were the respected religious leaders of the day. And here comes Jesus saying, you are of your father, the devil. Where I go, you cannot follow, etc. All the things he said to them and rebuked them. And then, he gave us the parable of the tares amidst the wheat. The tares and the wheat grow together, look identical. But then you can tell that the wheat bows down when it's ready and the tares are still arrogant. And then the tares get their head cut off at the end. That is the parable of the wheat and the tares. They get thrown in the fire. So You know, that's a continual warning there. Anyway, digression into that. So the giants who got smaller became the deep state of Rome, the deep state of basically every empire, behind pretty much every genocide, every great burning, for example, Chicago, both of the great fires of London, 1666 and the other one. There were multiple examples of this through history. I have a post at the Serapeum titled The Time of Jacob's Trouble, which goes into what the Bible talks about. It's a biblical phrase, time of Jacob's trouble. It's a prophecy phrase. But it essentially, in my opinion, is the time where we forgot who we were and the Jews were genociding us and, you know, controlling us. Like the Prima Noctu type stuff where they would rape our wives and, you know, night one and not even be able to raise our own children. This is the kind of things that they were into. And feel free to jump in with any questions or anything. But
you mentioned the European link to the Israelites. Were the 12 tribes of Israel Caucasian and therefore was Jesus white?
Yes. Jesus was basically an Irish man before Ireland existed. He was very white and probably quite pale. Not beautiful the way that people describe him when they show this. They usually show some like really attractive Fabio looking guy, and the Bible does not describe him that way in Isaiah 53, but he was of that bloodline. And every time you look for a description of the Israelites in the Bible, it's always fair skin, which means pale white skin, capable of blushing like Adam. Adam means to blush in one of the meanings. Everything about it, it talks about European likenesses. The prophecies also, any prophecy that talks about those people would only apply to the Europeans. If you look for fulfillment of things like who would spread the word of God to the world, not the Jews. They hate that. They don't want you to even have a Bible. They want to outlaw you having a Bible, in fact. So, and that's coming soon. So actually it was the Christian Europeans who spread the word of God to the world and blessed the world. That's a specific prophecy as well. So all of the any evidence that would point to who the actual tribes of Israel are, plural, not just one little group of people, tiny percentage of the population of the world, like you said earlier, but they were meant to be, blessed to be many people, multitudinous seed, like Abraham had many baby blessings, basically. God said your seed would be like the uncountable, like the stars or like the sand, basically. That's not the Jews. They've always been a statistical small minority and incapable of being anything else because they're so unhealthy and devolved and evil, and they even sacrifice their own babies, and most of them are gay. So they don't produce at that rate, and they have to resort to basically usury and control of the economy in order to even compete.
Let me just continue that train of thought. So in, I think it's in Matthew where Jesus spoke to a woman, I think she was a Canaanite woman, and he said he came only for the lost sheep of Israel. Is that a suggestion that Christianity is not universalist?
Well, people have tried to turn it into that. There are people who teach the whites only heaven. But essentially, I don't see it that way, and no, I don't think it could possibly be that way. I mean, first of all, Abraham and many of the people who came before him are not Israelites. The first Israelite is his grandson. So if it's only Israel that can be saved, then that precludes everyone who came before. It precludes people like Jonah going through all the trouble of being swallowed by a whale to go and preach to non-Israelites of repentance and salvation. Basically, there are prophecies, for example, that, as I just said, the people of Israel would spread the word of God to the world. So why would that be the case? Why would they bless the world if the world is doomed because they're not Israelite? So there's a lot of contradictions created in Scripture with this position.
Yeah, and Paul also, this with people. Paul also spoke to a lot of different people.
Yeah. So no, the answer is no. It's not just for whites only heaven. I mean, the Asian people who are dying for the name of Christ in China right now, in some cases, because Xi Jinping posters are going up and Jesus posters are going down, and like they're being persecuted pretty heavily, almost as bad as the Uyghurs over there. Those people are, especially under earlier communism, like the persecution was really bad. it's gone through phases, and Xi Jinping's pretty bad too. Anyway, those people who are suffering, they're going to also be considered saints and martyrs. And God tells us, in fact, that he will give us names better than sons and daughters if we are, you know, found, you know, eternal with him and survive judgment day, basically. So, no, what happened, in my opinion, is that Jesus came sequentially to the lost tribes of Israel to make what the Bible calls a nation of priests. And then they were meant to, as the prophecies then dictate, spread the word to the world through his example, the suffering servant, the Via Dolorosa, the Parhesiastes.
What your conversation has shown me is that the entire history of the world is actually linked to the Bible.
Everything. And in fact, everything evil is basically in opposition to it. We know they hate God. We know they hate Christ. We know they hate Christianity, not Buddha, Muslims, Buddha or Gandhi or any of that. Confucius. They don't hate Confucius. They hate Jesus. And we know that's why. This is what makes sense of it. This is the reason. I can defend it all, but this is the truth of our history, our hidden his story.
You know that after this is published, either you or I will get emails or messages from people saying, yes, but this Dustin guy, he really hates the Jews.
I don't, actually. That's the funny thing is people think, they assume that I hate the Jews, and I don't actually hate the Jews. I pity them. I defend even Jewish children in terms of talking about child trafficking. I mean, they have a Masira, I think it's called. I might be mispronouncing it, but they basically say in the Jewish culture, you're not allowed to report Jews to authorities or non-Jews. So like there's video examples of this where child victims who have grown up of rabbis have confronted the rabbinic community. Like, why would you let him rape us all and not do anything about it? And they just cover it up, Masira. So I don't hate the Jews. I love their victims. I love their victims, and I won't shut up.
Not all Jews are bad people, and we're talking about genetic Jews, because you can also convert to Judaism. You can be a religious Jew. And, of course, we know that all people can be evil, right?
So it's not the same thing as, like, an Ethiopian black male who says he is of the religion of Judaism. That's not the same. When I'm saying Jew, I mean the race that, you know, Jewish geneticists have firmly established. They're a race. They're not European. I can go to the genetics post at the Serapeum and talk about it if you want. We can go into the haplotypes and the chromosomes or whatever, nephilosomes maybe. But God did, in fact, say it's all of the race. He didn't say it's all of a religion called Judaism, although he mentions the synagogue of Satan. That's the only religion that has a synagogue. But what he did warn us about is a species that would continually change names and infiltrate, but is in fact a species. And the way to call the Jews properly in biblical terms is Amalek or Edom, or just Nephilim as a general sense, because that's all of the bad bloodline throughout history. But anything that's a mixed species is a Nephilim. You mix a dog and a cat, it becomes a Nephilim. You mix a frog and a dog, it becomes a Nephilim. Those are not the same thing as the Jewish bloodline of Edom. So the way to address the Jews, which is not a Bible word, it was added in 1400 years after Jesus, when they took out Yahweh, God's name, almost 7,000 times, they being Roman Jews. The real way to address them is Amalek, which means the blood lickers. And they have been kicked out of 109 countries 1,034 plus times for that and other crimes like that, which I talked about earlier, or Edom. And Edom is wiped out utterly. Not a single person survives in Obadiah 18, a prophecy of the end times, because they're evil. And God tells us why.
He hates Pharisees them. Were Edomites, weren't they?
Yes, infiltrators. And in John 8:33-44, Jesus has them confess it. Okay, he tricks them into confessing it, because they say, we were never enslaved, or we were never slaves. And they say that they are of Abraham. And Jesus says, okay, you are of Abraham, but you're not of Israel. And that's the message there. So what does it mean that they were never enslaved? They admit they were not the enslaved Israelites of Egypt. They are the of Abraham, also Edomite branch, infiltrating. So they can say, we're of Abraham all day long to Jesus. And Jesus knows, you're not Israelite. You're Edom. You're of your father, the devil.
What about the other part of my question, in which I said that all people can be evil?
Yeah, okay, so with most people, psychopathy is found at like 5% or less levels. With Jews, it's like 95% or more levels. It's not the same thing. It's not on the same level. Humans have sin. We're born capable of evil. We have good in us. They don't have good in them. They fake it quite well sometimes, but they have what the Bible calls is an unclean spirit. When a Jew dies, it becomes a demonic spirit wandering about. They don't go where we go. They don't think like we think. I can show you them admitting it. I can show you rabbis talking about how, you know, Jewish character or Jewish belief is that you should wipe out the whole bloodline, kill all the babies, burn them all alive, destroy your enemies. You know, that's not the people of Abraham. They're not doing the actions of the people of Abraham. And the people of Abraham...
This podcast is sponsored by IQBar.
I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQBar plant protein bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQBars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQ Bar sampler pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter, hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ Bar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20.
Generally, we'd have a problem with that. The people of Abraham are Arabs through Ishmael and Europeans through Isaac and Jacob, Israel, his son. So those people are being set to kill each other by Edom, Satan's children, the third branch of Abraham, basically. The fallen branch, because Edom, Esau, mix with Canaanite wives, creating the white look-alike Jew of today, the Sionim infiltrator. And God hated Esau before he was even born, and Esau was human. Presumably, this is why God hated Esau. It's the only thing that makes sense from my limited understanding. And that also leads to the question of what is the unforgivable sin? Even Jesus says there's an unforgivable sin. I believe that it is the Genesis 6 watcher sin of mixing species, creating corrupted spirits, corrupted flesh, playing God in a sense, because when they did that, they were never forgiven. Their entire bloodline was never forgiven. And throughout the entire scripture, beginning to end, God hates that entire bloodline. God even wiped out tribes of babies. And in the Old Testament, people think it's a different God. They think he's mean. They think he's evil. But in fact, no, he was saving us from a non-human species of cannibal demons. Maybe some sources to help people, at least. Like, if you go to the Serapeum, a couple of articles to look into. One of them is titled Genetics. That will show you a lot of evidence to suggest that they're not human like us. They're not the same tribe of man, at the very least. Even from genetics, or Jewish geneticists. So I'm using Jewish sources for this as well. Another thing that you would want to look at is the one post titled, God Said It's All of Them, the Entire Race. And that's a really good one. And, you know, I question people who don't believe that or don't want to believe that. Why would a loving God who sacrificed his only begotten son for us that we might have salvation, who loved us that much, order the extermination wholesale of entire tribes of babies? It's got to be because they're monsters. They're not human. And that's why they were described as cone-headed, six-fingered giants that ate people. And now in more recent history have been kicked out of 109 countries 1,034 plus times for beating people. They are still evil. They're still not human. And no matter what happens, they will never be human, no matter how deluded they get, no matter how much they look like us. They're never going to be like us. So those are really important posts for this topic. And another one is just the seed war. The seed war is a mega post. It has everything about this topic and all the Jewish evil in it. So you'll find more than enough data and evidence to support what I've said.
What about, you know, somebody who's an atheist and says to you, yeah, but all of this is just fairy tales. It's just all biblical nonsense.
I can prove this. You won't be atheist for long.
You can prove Earth is flat. Just for those who aren't watching.
Yes. I can prove the earth is biblical. So flat, not moving, never, it doesn't spin, it doesn't wobble three ways, which is fake. It doesn't ellipse around anything. It does not move. Go outside and look. It has a bubble on top. It's called the firmament. Look at your Milky Way arch. Look at your sun dogs. Look at your double sun phenomenon. Look at your inverted rainbows, which is a mirror image. It's absolutely flat. Go look at a lake that's a large lake, flat, absolutely flat water, where there's no boats or air making ruffles because there's no tides on lakes. Another thing that would be debunked, you know, debunking globe Earth. Go out there when the water is still like a mirror and look at the reflection of that perfectly flat mirror. If it's not perfectly flat, if it's any, even a little bit concave or convex, you're going to get those funhouse mirror effects where you have fat or skinny mountains or skyscrapers or clouds or whatever is being reflected. And that's not the case. When you look at a large body, look at the salt flats, for example, 10,000 miles of 2 inches of water as a mirror. Perfect example. We can go into how it's not moving, how it doesn't spin, how it's stationary, how it's 6,000 years young. Talk about the firmament. I do this with PhD scientists. I debate it. Don't just dismiss it. I thought it was ridiculous. I thought it was stupid. I thought it was a distraction. I was an atheist. I hated God. I thought God and religions in general were the source of man's ills. I was raised in a public school. I mean, I thought religion bad, you know, but no. In fact, the Bible is the source of all truth. It is historically accurate and super accurate. The Bible's prophecies and advanced science knowledge, in fact, are super accurate. We're discovering from science. So they told us with Nietzsche that God is dead and science killed him. And I'm telling the world now in response to them that God is not dead. He is laughing at them using science, and we can all see it. So atheism is dying because of things like the death of evolution, the death of globe Earth, and all the silly space cartoons that they show our children nonstop from birth. Star Trek, Star Wars, that's all it is. It's all made up. There's no evidence whatsoever for a spinning globe. They don't have a single photo that is not fake.
Yeah, so that's one of your foundational arguments against an atheist. Is that right?
Well, we could go. That's the big hitter. That's what got me. I mean, there's other things to prove God. You can go into the logic. You can go into the math. You can go into the Big Bang and all that stuff. And you can debunk things like NASA. And I can go into the pillars of their scientific foundation, like Newton, and how Newton was an obsessed alchemist and occultist who died drinking mercury and wrote hundreds of thousands of pages on decoding the Emerald Tablets of Hermes, where he got the idea of gravity from originally. So I can show you their scientists are really just occultists obsessed with the pre-flood teachings of the fallen angels, which is where they get the idea of these orbs spinning around and star worship and sun worship and all this crap anyway. It's all fake, and they're just trying to resurrect this pre-flood fallen angel sun worship.
How do you fit in things like, you know, the pyramids and dinosaurs?
Well, I mean, there was an advanced civilization because in Genesis 6, and I forgot to mention this, I guess it's a big deal. When they started to infiltrate mankind, they being the B'nai Ha Elohim, the watchers, the Genesis 6 angels, the fallen rebel angels, Satan's comrades, you know, there were multiples. It wasn't just one fallen angel. So Genesis 6, he had reinforcements and they started to teach mankind. They traded blood and sin in exchange for knowledge, just like today. That's why the elite are obsessed with blood sacrifice, specifically of children, mostly Christian children. That's why they are obsessed with the language of symbols we see all around us, where they're showing off, you know, goat horns or six-pointed stars or what have you, or sun worship. That is why all of these things, and blood magic is real. It summons real entities. They talk to them. It's in the Bible. It's in the deep state's own religious belief system. Like the book, the Freemasons teach that at the 32nd level, you get two giant spirits robed in white that are your spirit guides. At the 33rd level, you get to talk to Lucifer himself. This is what they teach in their own texts with Albert Pike and others. So, and they lie to their lower level members. They say that as well in their texts, by the way. They don't all know this. They think they're part of a social club, but they're not. These groups are the the deep state and the knowledge that they still get today, which is why we've exploded in knowledge since like the 1950s. It's a repeat of Genesis 6. I'll explain that in a second with prophecy. In Genesis 6, they were trading advanced knowledge for child blood, sacrifice of humans. And that's why in the ancient world, there's like blood sacrifice pyramids with tens of thousands of victims raining blood through like large channels and such, you know, like Indiana Jones shit. Excuse my language. And then you get into like late stage there where the Watchers were not near the flood, but before that, where the Watchers were finally imprisoned. And this is they call them in the pagan worlds the bringers of knowledge, the civilization heroes, the givers of gifts, the Prometheus figures, you know, the ones who stole the forbidden fire and from heaven and gave it to mankind. Forbidden fire being knowledge that we didn't need, we still don't need. So what did they teach? They taught mankind abortion. Cocobel, fallen angel name, taught mankind abortion, the smitings of the womb, of the infants in the womb, how to stop a baby from growing in the womb. Others taught women to adorn themselves with makeup and earrings and beauty, and how to, in order to maintain their beauty, to kill those babies. That was part of why they were doing it, to look prettier, longer. The other fallen angels taught metallurgy or alchemy or sorcery or astrology or warfare. Azazel in particular and Gadriel in particular, they hated us so much that they wanted us to kill each other. So they fought us like people fight dogs and roosters today. So they taught us how to make weapons and how to mine metals and how to kill each other in war. They taught us how to make mirrors for vanity. They taught us how all these evil things that we just don't need. And what happens? They were imprisoned for 70 generations, as per One Enoch. And then, in One Enoch, it's a book that was not written for most of mankind. It was written for the last generation. And then, 70 generations later, from their imprisonment, they pop up again as aliens. Roswell, the 1900s. And then, immediately again, not only does the Book of Enoch get discovered for the end generation, for that last generation as prophesied, with all the details about who they are and what they did, we have basically an explosion of knowledge. From early 1900s, 1950s and on, you have us going from horse and carriage, like most of human history, to hypersonic missiles hitting children from, you know, not really, but like they're using high precision, small missiles to go after babies in apartment buildings in Gaza. Now, that's an example. Hypersonic missiles are a little bit bigger, and that's another example. We have all these different technologies that are mostly being used to control, kill, sicken, or lead astray into sin. Why? Like television. We don't need your televisions. We've got enough lies being told to us in our vision. This is what these things are, and that's where they come from. And that's why all the movies are obsessed with blood sacrifice of children, or harvesting fear from children, or scaring children to run the city, power, like in the movies that they put out now. One example is Monsters, Inc. Another one is Little Monsters from when I was a kid growing up, like 1980s. Same theme, scaring children for power with monsters. And another one would be The Mandalorian, really popular TV show. I don't watch it. It's based on Star Wars. The whole theme is hunting a little green baby for its blood. The whole theme of the show. This is where these things come from. This is where movies like The Watchers comes from, by the way. The M. Night Shyamalan put out a movie called The Watchers, which is what the fallen angels were called. And these Watchers started to touch, obviously, but they were called The Watchers. And the movie The Watchers goes into a story of elves trapped underground after a war with mankind because, you know, we didn't like them. Something vague like that. That's what they always do with their mythologies. And in the reality, the fallen angels were entombed under the earth by the creator himself after leading mankind astray. But they give you elements of the truth. They were entombed underground. They were changelings. They were able to change their shape. They were an ancient advanced species. So even in the modern movies now, they tell you variations of this story. Every pagan mythology on Earth is a variation of this story.
You didn't mention the dinosaurs.
Oh, yeah, dinosaurs. So, you know, in the Bible, it talks about the behemoth whose tail is like a tree. I take that to be, and I believe that to be, and maybe we can go into this. I think it needs to be built on a little bit more of this theory, but I believe that to be the long neck dinosaur that's kind of like a giraffe. I forget the name.
Brontosaurus, I think.
Yeah. It eats the greens, you know. It's in the Jurassic Park movies. And then when the flesh became corrupted, they were experimenting with these things, and they created what we call in mythology and history dragons, or today dinosaurs. Same thing. Yes, they existed. Were they of God's creation, or were they some sort of mixed species? Were they some form of monster, basically? And I can show some examples of dragon lizard things being used to guard temples in the ancient world, you know, historically speaking. So maybe they were using them as weapons or as guard dogs, or maybe they were just trying to wipe out mankind. I don't know. But dinosaurs came about with all flesh corrupted and all flesh increasingly thinking of violence at all times, which is some of the pre-flood stuff. And then most of them were wiped out, if not all of them, in the flood, which is where you see dinosaurs choking on. They call it the death pose, the death throw, where they're like this. They're arcing their neck back because they're suffocating and their lungs are filled with mud. Most of them are in that pose. Or maybe they're mid-eating and they were flash frozen, or mid-mating, flash frozen so fast that they were not even able to stop chewing or stop fighting or stop mating, because the that's part of the floodwaters, which explains a lot of archaeology and everything else. So this is the flat world cosmology, roughly. It's not an exactly perfect map. It's based on the Gleason's map, which shows like Russia and Alaska is really far apart when they're not, for example. But anyway, this outer edge is Antarctica, which is eternal snow, basically blanketed in ice. But there's pyramids under there. There were old maps showing civilizations there. How did that ice get there? What happened is, in the flood, something called the waters below, which is a water volcano, erupted so hard that it went into the upper atmosphere, hit the bubble, froze, and came back down at the edge, or maybe everywhere. And then everything was frozen for a long time. We had the ice age, but the sun and the moon thawed or the sun specifically, because the moon is a cold light. It actually is colder than the shadows around it, proof that we're not on what they tell us. But the sun thawed the inner area of that circle, its track, over time. But it never reached and thawed the Antarctic ice wall, which is now basically eternal ice. And in so doing, we have the under-ocean, mid-oceanic ridge, I think they call it, which is the mountains that are in the ocean where these waters erupted that still vent hot water. And then we have the parallel mountain chain above ground, above the land, where the buckles happened, where the plates were buckled. So the under ocean mountain chain buckled plates and caused other parallel mountain chain bucklings, as if you had seen a flat thing just break out. And that's where you get your mountain ranges that are basically mirrors of that mid-oceanic ridge. They're the same shape, because they're bucklings of that. It's called hydroplate theory, but the water erupting from below. And then, of course, the waters above also came, because there's waters above. That's why the sky is blue during the day and black at night. And that's why when we zoom into stars, we can see something that looks like rainbow through water. It's not a burning gas giant. It's circles of rainbow spinning, like the Orphanim are described in the Bible. So we're seeing angelic spirits. Anyway, the windows of the firmament were opened as well, and the waters below and above met and drowned the world and flooded everything, and then went back down, but they never went all the way back down. So we have 400 feet of extra water level now. If you go off the coast where the water level used to be, anywhere in the world, you're going to start finding cities with pyramids and sphinxes and all that other pre-flood Atlantean stuff. Because that was their old beach cities. Now they're under ocean.
How can my audience find you?
DustinNemos.com has all of my websites. The SarahPayum.com is the hidden history archive with all the stuff, the science, the Bible, the conspiracies connected. You know, I cover what's going on at Nemos News Network, and I cover why it's happening at uncensored.church, and they both pull from the Hidden History Archive for evidence. So it's all connected. I even have a channel called unstoppablefood.com now because I'm trying to help people to survive the famine. You know, I mean, they're trying to kill our food supply and vaccinate everything now. And even Trump wants to vax the chickens and drive down the egg costs. Well, maybe quit killing all the chickens with, you know, fake tests and we won't have high egg costs.
Dustin Nemos, thank you for joining me in the trenches.
Thank you for having me on, brother.